Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. Just slide them, right? Thank you. That's a nice picture. All right, we'll see that in a few minutes. Thank you for your interest. And do you get a big picture of my head back there, or does it miss it? Am I in the way? All right. Well, first of all, I just want to read two verses and just pray in Acts and chapter 14 and break in at verse 25. It says, "And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how that he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode." It's just this, and as I think about these meetings, and that is that it's not about the missionary, and I'm not a missionary. But really, it shouldn't be about the missionary. It's about what God has done through the missionary. It's what God has done, not what I have done or anyone else has done. When we allow ourselves to get in the way, then we take away from what God would really desire. But we will try to just share a few things as we go along, and it is difficult. I've spoken quite a few times in past years, but I haven't been bringing reports for a while because I didn't have any good pictures and they were getting old. And my wife says, "You're not going to speak again till you get some new pictures." So you listen to your wife. So this time I got too many pictures and tried to decide which one you're going to have, whichever picture. So just first of all, so that before we go, let's just pray. Father, we just pray that what we have to say tonight might, amongst other things, encourage people to pray. Pray for that country that's in desperate need right now. Not only need politically, but in need spiritually. And Father, we do pray that the door will remain open in that country, as it is now, wide open. And Father, that's such a privilege in what was a former communist country, to have it wide open. We think of how the door closed on Russia for the spreading of the gospel, but it's still wide open in Ukraine. So Father, be with us tonight, we pray. And bless those who are working there that will be sleeping right now, but those who have been working each day in that country. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, if we would ask you, what's the name it's had for many years? Many of you would know. You're older, but younger people don't know. But it is fast becoming, again, the breadbasket of Europe. That's what it was known as, the breadbasket of Europe, because of the fertile ground and the amount of wheat and grains that could be grown there. But under communism, that went sadly wrong and was absolutely destroyed. But now, what they've done is they've leased a lot of the land to European farmers who've moved in there with all their John Deeres and everything else, and they're doing a fantastic job. And as we left, the fields were all green again, ready for the spring harvest. They'd already had a good harvest in 2018. Anyway, as you know, the capital is Kiev, which we don't have very much to do with at all. Been there once, and I don't care if I don't go again. But we're now in western Ukraine, which is, we start in Lviv, or as the Russians call it, Lvov, and it's often called that on the map. But it's the largest city after Kiev. It has 720,000 people. And just to know, it's been around a while. It was inaugurated in 1663. And so it's an old city. And I brought just a few pictures for you to see. Do you want to put some of these lights out? You can do if you like. There's a lot of lights here. And I can see what I've got here. So we were just there this October, and the weather was absolutely beautiful. Thank you. That's a little better, I think, isn't it? See? And on the last Saturday there, we went into town, and it was absolutely a gorgeous day, and you'd hardly believe that this was a country like that. And so These are just one or two pictures of what was going on there. We were trying to get a coffee and we couldn't find a place as we were there because of the crowds of people, visitors from all across Europe and especially from Poland. And so really it was you would not think there were any problems there at all when you look at these pictures. And this was Lviv. And also that's it, doesn't want to move very fast. Musicians and all the rest of it there, and very, very pleasant time spent in there. This is very common over there. You'll see it in just about every city over there that we've been to, people sitting, playing chess and checkers. And it was rather unusual here because it's usually old men, and here was a young man playing an older man at chess. And people will stand around and after it's dark, and they're still doing it, just by the street lights, and it's very calm. One of the big things that we noticed this last time, amazing buildings. These are all new apartments, condos, and surprised to know, well, who's going to live in them? Because there's still so many poor people. I would just say this, that Ukraine is still a country of extremely rich and extremely poor, with very few in between. And so the very rich can afford to. We found out that these are being built by rich people who have come from the east to get away from the fighting, and they brought their money with them, and they're building these large apartments. Not only large apartments, but beautiful stores. Some of the stores there are bigger than you've got anywhere in Manitoba. This was one of them, a new one called the Arshan store. And this is, as we're walking there, this is the inside of it. From the restaurants are all around the outside, and you can look down, and there are pools and everything else there, and it seems that people have so much money. This is the parking lot, and that's showing Epicenter, which is probably three times the size of any of the hardware stores you've got here. You can buy everything there. So there's everything available, except for many people the money. But you can buy a bathtub that lights up all around the edge. It lights up and changes color for you. You know, make the bathtub feel better. But all sorts of things. We were doing some shopping here, and we were trying to get a birthday present. And this is Dan Perez. Yeah, I just caught him walking away. But I just wanted to give you the size. That's the width of the store, not the length. That's the width of it, and it was so far that when you stood and looked down, you couldn't see the other end. It was just, it had gone out of sight. That's how big these stores are. But you can still go into the market and you can buy some of your fruit in the market. And this is the sort of display that they will give in the markets. And now they're bringing people from outside and they're building indoor markets. And this was an indoor market with electric doors and everything as you walked into it in Lviv. But you're probably interested in the assembly. While I was there, it was the conference, the annual conference in Lviv at the assembly, and I can tell you that this is the only room in the assembly except for a little kitchen, very small in Lviv, and this was the visitors that were there that hadn't gone home after the Saturday and had stayed for the Lord's Day. It was just before the meeting started, so I took a quick picture. We were almost bumping knees, so close. And some even had to stand up if they came in the back, other visitors. The brother who you can see here in the back there is Edmund, and this is, almost spilled the water. Yeah. This is Edmund, and that's his wife, Edmund. What's her name? I have, at this. No, Edmund Johnson, and Agnes. Edmund and Agnes, yeah. They're commended from Northern Ireland to Lviv. As many of you know, there are only two assemblies in Ukraine. Another one is in Lutsk, and that's another 2.5 to 3 hours past Lviv from where we come from in the city. Well, I'll be showing you in a few minutes. And so there's only the one assembly that we fellowship in there. There's not one where we work. We have to come. They were already here for the children, and the children are very excited, a lot of children. And a lot of these children we brought with us from Ivano-Frankivsk, where we work. And So we'll tell you. And the young man, you can't quite see him there, but that's when the only time you get a picture, that's Dan Perez. And he doesn't like his picture taken. But in this assembly, there is one brother who was saved. I don't see him on the picture there. When I was first there with Mrs. Cansey, and he got saved in the kitchen, and he's now an elder in this assembly, and he's also the driver and does some interpreting. Anyway, obviously, if you're going to have a conference, you couldn't have a conference in the actual assembly building. So what we do is we rent a Baptist church, a very large Baptist church, and there are lots of Baptist churches, and this was one of the signs of it there, and that's looking at it from that way. We had just short of 100 people there at that time. It's a two-day conference, and people come from different countries. We had Larry Perkins, who was invited speaker from the USA, Gilles Plourd from Kapuskasing and his wife, Daniel Moses from Slovakia, and Howard Pratt as well from up in there, and myself. And there were actually 3 carloads, I think it was, from Slovakia, and another one from Moldova. And just to give you an idea what some of these people have to go through as they go back, the one to Moldova was stuck for 7 hours at the border. You say, what do you do for 7 hours? I don't know, but that's how long it took them to get through. But they came for the conference. So then you say, well, so that's how the conference went. This is Larry Perkins preaching with a Baptist interpreter we had. If they can get an interpreter who's not in the assembly, it means that the assembly interpreter can take in the conference. And so they bring this Baptist fellow in, and he was an excellent interpreter into English. This was me. We don't need to stay there just to know that I was there. And this is the Sanhedrin. No, it's the Bible study. The Bible study, and we're all trying to think of an answer to the question somebody's asked there. And Larry Perkins was heading up the that there. One of the things is that they always like to have the children sing. The only thing I'm sorry about, and I don't know why, I have a change of computer, and for some reason I could not get any of the videos. And we had videos of every group of children singing. And you could have heard just how they do, and they do all the actions the same as your children do, I hope, as they sing these different ones. And this is a mixed multitude of children here. Some of them are from Christian parents, some are not. And we love to get them there, and I'll tell you a little bit later how, and you can see this young man here, who's delighted, you can just barely see him there, Dima. And he got saved a few years ago and is baptized and in the assembly. But he's with Dan. He works along with Dan. Dan's a single man, and it's good to have him there with him. So other visitors at the conference were Timothy Sloan, came with a busload from his assembly. And, of course, Dan Perez, he brought up 2 van loads, an 18-passenger van, another one of people to the conference. What's so good about this Baptist church is that they have apartments upstairs, and so they rent the apartments out, so about half of the people who stay can stay right in the church, which is really good. And right behind those students there, that's the kitchen and dining room up there. So it's really good. I tell you something that it's not funny, but it sometimes makes a chuckle. People over there, they might sign a paper and say, yes, you've got the church for this date, and then something else comes along and they say, oh, we haven't heard from it, so we'll let somebody else take it. And that's almost what happened when Timothy called to say, we're okay, all right for the church, for the conference. Oh, well, you can't have it on Saturday because we're having a birthday party for one of our elders at the church. Well, he said, what are we going to do? He said, can you find another church to go to? You can still come and have your meals there, but we're going to have a birthday. So he said, well, we'll have to. So he panicked and managed to find another Baptist church. Well, on the, I guess we're starting with the Friday, on the Thursday, the man phones up and says, oh, would you still like it? Well, he said, well, because the elder died. So he died, so you can have the church if you like, because we won't be having the birthday. which we expected. So we didn't want to laugh. You say, oh, dear, dear, you know, sort of thing. But anyway, it all worked out all right. So one of the things that we, this group of children were brought up, all of them, from by Dan. And I'll show you a little bit more about that later. They wanted to come to the conference. And we have a work with these children back in Ivano-Frankivsk. And if the ones have earned it by good behavior, and most of them are, they're alive, but they're good kids. They're from just around. What he does, he lets the children know that there's going to be this meeting on a Saturday, and they just arrive. Some of them come quite a way, and he has to take them home afterwards because they've come quite a way, and they have this meeting on a Saturday. I'll talk about that a little later. That's at the work in Aveno. But this is the man from Slovakia, and Daniel Moses. And if you'd like to hear him, he is going to come over for a holiday in the summer with his family. And he's a good preacher, preaches in English. I don't know who took this picture, but I'm not sure whether he was praying, but it looks like Dima's asleep, but he's not. He's got his eyes closed there. You probably can't see too well there. But Dima's got his eyes closed, and he hasn't. But I'm not sure what it was, but that's the only picture somebody took that I could get. Anyway, he's a godly man, and there are several assemblies in Slovakia, good assemblies. Some of them, he said, they need some help, getting some bad influences. But anyway, he's a lovely man, and we've been writing together, and he's arriving in August, I think it is. So there I was speaking to the children, and they always like some action, and so we had it, and they listen very, very well, very, very attentive. This lady is interesting, only from the fact that one of the places that we went to when we were in Lviv was a home for young mothers who, many of them probably were never been married, but the social services said these ladies need some help. And so they had this home for them, and we go there and speak to the ladies and take stuff to the home, as is the same with all these types of homes. The government doesn't hardly give any help, and so they're always needing stuff. But we always get a chance to preach the gospel. Anyway, at some time in the past, we preached the gospel, and this lady got saved. And she's now coming to the meeting in Lviv, and I wouldn't be surprised very soon she'll be in the assembly. But she is teaching her daughter there the scripture like you wouldn't believe. She's only about 4 or 5. I don't know if she's in kindergarten. And she stood right up there and said the whole long verse right the way through. None of the others said it as well as she did, of course, in Ukrainian. So that was just one of the sort of people they're reaching out to. This young lady was given some tracts by somebody a few years ago who was from Canada. And anyway, she was on her way into Germany, it sounds like, on a bus. And she was reading the tracts, and she got saved on the bus. So she's now been baptized and is I'm not sure whether she's going to be in the assembly yet or not. All right, so what do we do then when we're there? We don't only have a conference and then just sit around. No, one of the things is we go out to the different orphanages, and this is an orphanage at Lopartin, and we've been going there since I first went there with Flo. And whenever we go, it doesn't matter, they will fill that auditorium with kids. Not only that, but the staff. You see all the staff through the crowd? You can see our staff. One here, one there, others back here, someone sitting over there, the staff, another one over here. So they come, and we sing some choruses, and that was another good one because we had some all doing the sign. The teachers were doing all the things as well. But as I say, I couldn't get it onto the PowerPoint. And then we have a preach, and we preach there and take materials there, all sorts of different things that they need. We usually give a call and they say, well, we're out of laundry soap, and do you have any toothpaste? And well, we haven't got any of this or that and whatever, and so whatever we've got sent in boxes we take, or we might even go and buy some stuff. Here I am speaking to them, and that is Ruslan up there, and he's speaking to, he's interpreting. We always use an interpreter. Then we're now in going to Ivano-Frankivsk, and I seem to have missed some pictures here. I don't know whether I've got the right one here. I had some pictures of Ivano. Ivano-Frankivsk is about 2.5 hours away from Lviv, and it has 230,000 people in it, and it was instituted or inaugurated in 1663. Very old, beautiful old city, and people come from all over the world to visit there. Anyway, we have meetings in a rented hall, and this is in a museum, and it's rather distracting, but not only distracting, it's cold. They never have the heat on. I just had a picture the other day, and they're all sitting with their parkas on and some with their hats on, and even the preacher's got his parka on because they forget to turn the heat up. So at the present time, Dan has got his eye on another building that we're going to rent. We're going to have our own building and not have to rent this place. But that's Howard Pratt preaching there, and we have another interpreter there, and he's not saved. But he knows his Bible, and he preaches, and he just preaches the word and does a great job. So we're praying for the interpreter. I guess you can just barely see him there, right? Right there. Nice man. Nice married, young man, young married man. That was me with the crowd, and I could have told you something about the people in the crowd, but we'll see some of them later. And this is Howard preaching and Deemer interpreting. He's very, very good English, interprets very well. And he can also translate what we're saying into Ukrainian very well. One of the places that we go to is a place we call the Halfway House. And we always go there. And this is a place where children have been picked up off the street or brought there by the authorities because they're not being looked after. And there could be anywhere near 30 children there, up to 30 children there. And we go there every time we're there, maybe once or twice. I'm not sleeping there, by the way. I look like I am. I'm glad it's not a very good picture there, but I'm not sleeping. I'm just thinking what I'm going to say after he's finished. So I get up the next time. It's run by a lady, this lady here, and her husband. She did it alone for years, and they're just a lovely, lovely couple, and her name is Maria, and her husband's name is Vasil. And Vasil is just what she needed. He's got out there, he's getting funds to do different things. And but what we usually do is we ask them, we say, what's your need? What is your great need while we're here this time? And almost every time it's for footwear. One time it was for slippers. No children had slippers. They had nothing to put on once they took their outside shoes off. So we got slippers. This time it was shoes. So what they do is they give us a list of all the sizes. And we go into town. This little fellow wanted somebody to sit on his knee, and that's a little boy. He's not knowing where these people will, if they can't find family, he will be put into an orphanage, which is rather sad. So this time they gave us this list for shoes, and we went up to the market, and there's an indoor and an outdoor market. This was an indoor one. And there were shoes as far as you could see and further, and shoes and shoes. And so what a job we had, trying to, what sort of shoes are we going to get? And it was a good job that we had our interpreter with us, because he could tell. Anyway, when we eventually got what we couldn't get them all there. She said, well, we're actually closing out, so we're going to give you a discount on that. And so we got a tremendous discount. Almost got them for, I'm not sure where that 70 there's a 70 on the wall, whether that was 70% off, I'm not sure. But anyway, big discount. So, and I'm just putting my hand in my pocket, as you can see, to get some money to pay for it. So that's one of the things that we do. We go around to these different ones. Now, when we got it all, we came right back to it. And here, they wanted that picture there. This is the sort of stuff we bought. You can see the toilet paper, something they can never afford. There are vegetables in here. This is full of clothing that we brought. It says women's on it. Might not be women's. We probably put other stuff in there. But this cleaning supply is here. And that's all the sort of stuff that they cannot get. And the government doesn't give them enough money to do it. Just to give you some idea of how corrupt some of the authorities are. No, I'll tell you about it when we get there. This is a bit later on at school, and some of the stuff is unbelievable that these inspectors will do. Anyway, the interesting thing was at this place, somebody in some country decided that they needed a dentist. And so they supplied them with a whole dental room, everything, the chair and everything. And so we were looking at it, and she said, "You've got to see a dentist room, because when our kids come here, their teeth are absolutely atrocious. They've never had any dental care whatsoever." So we're talking about what they've got. Anyway, the dentist was standing behind me there. You can barely see her. But I said, "Well, you better practice, so maybe you should practice on me." So I sat in the chair, and she's looking into my awful mouth, but she didn't think she was anything she could fix, so she didn't have anything. Biggest problem was that you see this this machine here. You probably see them. That's what they put there when they've done the tools. They put them in there, but it's not an autoclave. They didn't have anything to sterilize their tools, so I'm glad she didn't start doing anything on my teeth. But what happened was we found out that we could get one in the market. There was a place where you could get equipment, and we were able to buy an autoclave for them so they could sterilize the tools when they had finished. So that was we were glad to see that. Oh, here's the picture. Okay, it's in the wrong place. This is Ivano Frankivsk. That's right, and you've got that picture. And that's what was the old town hall. Now there's a massive building now. And you can actually go up to the top. Every time we go, we're going to go up there and take some pictures. And every time we get to the airport on the way home, we say, "Oh, we never got any more pictures. We didn't go there." So I've never been up there yet. But it's very pretty. Nice gardens. A fountain in the center there. It's not going there that day, but it does usually go. And this is a street just around from where we live. It's being cordoned off completely. There's no traffic. And that's what it was like. Just as pretty as that this last October. And you can get ice cream, you can get ever what you want, the food is good, and you walk. And it doesn't matter what time of the day or night it is, you can walk. There's no fear. There doesn't seem to be any crime on the streets. So it's safe to walk, and that is what is so nice. If it's a hot day or hot day or that, and you want to go for a walk, you can go for a walk. And there'll still be some of the pizza places and this sort of stuff open at that time of the night. So very different to what you're hearing about all the trouble in Ukraine. That's just in one little part of it, way down on the border of Russia. One of the things that Dan, you won't see any pictures because he took these pictures, has been doing, which I really enjoyed this time. By the way, I said I was going to be 45 minutes, and so you started me. I thought I was going to start at a quarter after, but anyway, so I'm going to finish, okay? After taking these pictures. You don't mind being a little late? Anybody's got it? Can I? Okay, that's what I was going to do anyway. Thank you for giving me that. If anybody wants to go home, that's just fine. That's just fine. So what it's doing, this is the apartment now that Dan has, that he rents. And twice a week, he has Bible study in there. And it's for people who are showing interest, are coming out to the meetings and are asking questions. So they come there. And it's funny because there are 2 days, but there are basically two different groups that come. Some of them are already Christians, and some of these ones here are Christians, professing Christians. The couple behind, you can see the back of them there, the bald head. I'll tell you about them a little later. They're definitely Christians. And, of course, there's Howard over there. Howard is sitting there. Dima's right there. I don't know who this man is. This lady comes out to the meetings. I don't think she's saved, but she likes the food. We have some like that, I'm afraid. This was another night with a different group of people. And they come, and then we have a lunch afterwards, just some snacks afterwards. And you know what's amazing about these people? You will look out and you say, "Oh, nobody will come tonight. Look at the rain. Oh, it's raining. Oh, it's snowing and cold." They come. They come, and they walk. But Dan is very good, and he'll load up his van, and he'll sometimes spend an hour after meeting taking people home all over town. He's great at that. So this is what's going on there in Ivano. There's another room. This lady is saying, "Oh, I didn't do my hair. Why are you taking my picture?" I just want to show you this one quickly. This is Dema and his mother. And some of you might remember about his mother. Several years ago, there was a lady there, and she had cancer in the nose. And they eventually had to do surgery and took the nose off completely, right from the bridge here. She went to Kiev, and a Russian doctor rebuilt her nose. That's the lady now. You'd never know there was anything wrong. That's his mother. And Dima got saved. He was just a young boy when we first knew him. And he's still got some brothers, but he's on fire for the Lord. Absolutely on fire. Anyway, we were there for a wedding. Here's the wedding party. And this is the lady and gentleman who you saw the back of at the Bible studies. Well, what happened was that Tanya and her husband, this one here, when we were there 2 years ago, Tanya's first husband was doing some work for us. He was a plasterer and a carpenter and the rest of it, did some work for us. And they were coming out to the meetings. They had been Pentecostal, and they'd given up the Pentecostal and were really starting to grow in the Lord and what have you. And anyway, when we left 2 years ago, everything seemed fine until we got a call a year ago that he died in hospital. I had a picture of him in bed just before he died. And he got cancer of the lung, and the rest of it. Anyway, they had five children. So she has five children. She had five children. Anyway, in the course of the event, she met this man. He was single and was a Christian. He is a Christian. He gave his testimony one night for us. Beautiful testimony. And they got married. And this is the whole wedding party. That's all that was in this room. They rented a storefront. And she said, we'll go down and get it officially done. They go down to this official, government official, and sign the papers. Then they said, we're all going to come back here. And because we're Christians, a lot of my family are not, so we want two of you to preach. So myself and Dan preach the gospel. That's all they got here to the whole bunch. A lot of these people were not saved, their relatives and what have you. And we had a good meal. And so that's how they had a wedding. And very different to usual Ukrainian weddings that go on for about 3 or 4 days with all the drinking and everything else. But she said, no way. We're Christians, and we want to be a testimony. So that's them. Quickly, just with this one, we had a driver for many years who turned out to be a rogue. And this was his wife, who was a doctor. Anyway, he left her and ran off to Kiev and married somebody else. And we lost touch. Anyway, at one of the Bible studies, she arrives with her daughter at the Bible studies. And I couldn't believe it. It just about broke my heart because she was such a lovely person and everything else. But anyway, she invited us over for a meal. One of the things that is interesting, she got a beautiful apartment that her father had given to her. And I said to her, where did you get the wallpaper from? She said, that's not wallpaper. So I went to the art school, and a student came and painted that for me on the wall. So that's a painting on the kitchen wall. So that's the sort of people you meet. And they go out of your life, and then they come back into your life again. And she's saved, and coming out to the meetings. We'd love to see her, really. Anyway, she's married again, and this is a baby by the second marriage, a good Christian man. This lady we've visited now for over 20 years, and she has MS. This is where she lies, right there. She's unable to move now. She's totally paralyzed now, only move her head, and that's where she lives until she dies. There's no place, no hospital, nothing for her to go to. Her mother is her doctor. She looks after her. She was just a school teacher, and when you go to visit, you feel sorry, but by the time you've been there, she has so cheered you up. She said, don't talk about me. Talk about Jesus. And so I believe she's saved because a brother, Eric Fowler, sent her a Bible on CDs, and she'd listen to them. She could play her CDs. She used to be able to do it with just her mouth. She could push it down with a pencil in her mouth, but now she can't move any of her limbs at all. So one of these days, hopefully the Lord will take her home. So, yes, we always go to see her. It's better. Now, you might see all sorts of things in town. I've told people that in the city, you'll see more 2018 and 19 now Audis, Mercedes, BMWs, and everything else, but you only go 5 minutes out of town, and this is how people are doing things with a horse and cart. There's a man plowing his garden with a horse and plow, and he probably does the neighbors as well. They can't even afford a little tractor or anything like that. So there's still a lot of poverty. We go to this orphanage and have done at a town called Petroliv, Yablunov. Yablunov is an apple village. Yaplika is an apple village. And this is a fantastic little orphanage, and we've been going there for years. The administrator is amazing. You know what these children are holding is towels and the boxes of sheets that people from the U.S. had sent to Dan to give away, and he wanted a picture of it. These are absolutely priceless over there because people cannot afford sheets or towels or any of that sort of stuff. And so what we did, we got them to hold a picture. Well, then we get to always get to speak to the children, and for some reason, I don't know whether there was some funny shades on there, but we got this color. We speak to the children. We give them all the scriptures, a text, if they haven't got a New Testament, where they get that, and tracts, and some candies, of course. They've always got to have candies, and they do a fantastic job there. She has sewing classes. People have donated some real nice sewing machines for her, and they sew, and it's a very, very lovely place. Now we're just going to go up into the mountains quickly. The Carpathian Mountains go right through the Ukraine. Just for your interest, the Carpathian Mountains are 1,700 kilometers long. They go three or four different countries from way through Europe, all the way through. And this is now getting up into the mountains. Thankfully, the roads are good now, most of them. They've paved them in the last 5 years. And beautiful scenery. This is the lady I was going to talk to you about, who is the administrator Oksana, her name is, of a school, 400-student school in the hills. The only trouble is that 200 students have to stay there all week because they can't get home each day because it's too far up into the hills. So they're picked up on Monday, and they're taken home on Friday. So she has these dormitories where she has to look after these 200 children, feed them, and everything else. And when we first went there, we were absolutely appalled to find out that this large building with a gymnasium on the end there, did not have any running water in the building or any washrooms, of course. The washrooms were outside, just holes in the ground. And some of the neighbors who built new houses were complaining about the smell in the summer. And so we were able to get some money together. And we had some men go that Ruslan I told you about, took a plumber, and they went and built indoor toilets for them. They've all got toilets now and what have you. Just to show the way the authorities work, she had a washroom in each of the dormitories. There are two of them with two stories. And they had, every now and again, they had a little sink with cold water. She decided that she, personally, her husband has a good job, would buy electric water heaters. So she bought one for each of those sinks. A lady inspector came around, as they do, to find out something to try and get some money out of the director. She went through, came to a mop sink at the end where they washed the mops, and she said, "Where's the hot water heater for the mop sink?" She said, "I didn't buy them for mop sinks. I bought it for the children to wash." She said, "I'm going to fine you so much," and she fined her some money, took it out of her salary because she hadn't put an electric heater. But she didn't put one in. So that's the sort of stuff, and you say, "What do you do?" I go like that. "What can you do? What can you do?" One time we went there, we saw the beds. And that's just another picture. She's made this little place here. It's a little cafe where the girls at the orphanage can learn how to cook some little things and how to relate to people, because they're hill people. They're what we call hillbillies. They're from way up there. I've never been up there, but some of the other men have been up there way, way up in the hills, and they said, "You wouldn't believe where some of these kids live." So they built that little place. We helped them with some of the money for that. I won't say any more about that. Anyway, then we always get to speak to the children. This time they packed as many as they could into one classroom, And we preached to them there and gave them Bibles again, those who didn't have them, and tracts and calendars. And then this one we gave them toothbrushes. My dentist sent a whole box of toothbrushes and stuff for them, so we were able to give them toothbrushes, sort of thing they can't afford. This one is a different school altogether, on the roughest road that you could ever imagine to get to it. But it's what's called a sanatorium, but that's not for TB. It's for children who've been sick and need to be some respite. So they go there, I think, for a month to recover. And these kids have all been sick and been sent there by their doctors. We have an absolutely amazing thing here, because every time we go, it's new kids, because they've all moved out. We only go every other month. And look at the staff. Look at the staff. All these adults there, listening to the gospel. And they are so kind. They give us a big meal as well afterwards, and we take stuff for them too, because they don't get any help. Now I'm getting near the end. Here we're going to see some people that you've probably never seen in your life yet. These are gypsies. And we've gone to a gypsy encampment, and there's a gentleman there, I'll show you him in a minute there, who ministers to them. This is the mother and father that were there at this time. Some of the others were away. Here we've got the children here. None of these gypsy children ever go to school. Not only do they don't go to school, they won't allow the men or the women to collect water from town. If they see anybody and they've got water carriers trying to get water, they'll chase them away. So they have to go later when there's nobody around. That's how much they hate them. Here we are singing to them. Here's a group of us there singing to these children. Sweetest little kids. You can see by this condition of their clothes, the only time they get clean clothes is when we bring them, because they don't have running water. They live in these shacks made of lumber and what have you. That's dinner. That must be potatoes, I think. That's what it's like on the inside of these shacks. That's where they live. The whole family lives in there, including the dog and the cat. I was kind of interested because a few years ago, I saw some tarps. You've seen them. A tarp at Canadian Tire. And I'd sent tarps, and I wondered whether they ever got to the gypsies. And there's the remains of one of them in that place. So I'm going to send some more, because those blue tarps are far better. So then we just left there and went up again, up into the hills. And here we were together. That's myself and Helen and Jill Bluard, and Edmund and Agnes and Howard right there. And we're up at this farm, and it's amazing. You just drive in, and then people start coming from all over the place. You can see them coming down the hills and coming down because they've seen us coming. So here we're preaching. Jill is preaching there, right by the van. And here's the lady. The lady is waving. She's the one who always invites them to come. When are you going to come? And we're loaded with all sorts of boxes of clothes and food stuffs as well. We bring flour and oats and different things, and that's what they get. Now, this is the last part now, exactly the last part. This is the group that Dan works with on a Saturday, I told you about. These are the children. And they get the use of this room because Dima is kind of a physiotherapist for young children, especially those who are autistic. And during the week, that's what he's doing. And on Saturday, he can use the room with all the equipment. So these kids have a ball there. They sing. They do the courses. And then in a minute, Dan will say, all right, everybody, that's it. Put the stuff away. And they put it away just like that. They get the benches out, and they're ready for the message. And that's what we do, preach to them. Each one of us preach to them. There's something gone. Yeah, I think we got the wrong tag here. I had three of them there. Because what we do right after that is they all put the coats on, they head outside, hold hands, and you walk down the street, two blocks, into a cafe, and they all have a hot meal. And Dan's been paying for that himself over the years. I can't get the last picture. Doesn't want to go. Oh, I'd enlarged it, had I? No, I'm sorry. Okay. Here they are singing them. So that's the group that went up to the conference, and that was the same group. Here they are. They've been for their meal. It started to snow. This was just after I left. It wasn't bad weather when I was there. And they've all been for a meal, and from there, Dan takes them home. So just to give you, I hope that gives you a little idea of what goes on there. I will say that this last time was the heaviest time I've ever been there. I was there for a whole month, and we preached 7 days a week for the month. There was not one day off. Every day we were speaking to somebody or some group of us. And God in his goodness, there was no sickness, and then one day that we didn't do, and we're just thankful for that. Someone just said to me, "Well, don't just go away without saying anything." Well, I'm just to say that this was the 28th time I've been to Ukraine. 8 times to Siberia first and 28 times there. And if God will, I'll maybe go back next year. Just because a person is 85 doesn't mean he's got to quit, does it? So just pray for me, whatever God has in mind. You can't be away from those people and not be thinking about them just about every day when things are so good. Let's pray. Father, we just